So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Bow your heads just for a minute. God, we need to hear from you this morning. So much going on in the world today, God. We thank you for allowing us to have communion and giving us the command to take communion. Communion allows us to put our life on pause and put it back in biblical perspective. God knew there would be wars and rumors of wars and pink slips and co-workers and bosses and marriage and divorce and birth and death. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Get your life back in biblical perspective. Cut the news off, open up the Bible, get off of Facebook and put your face in the Bible's book and put your life back in biblical perspective. So God, we thank you because we wouldn't know what to do. We'd be running around like a chicken with our head cut off if we didn't pause, remember that you died on that cross for our sins and resurrected on that third day. Split time in half from B.C. to A.D. Every time we look at the calendar, we're reminded that something happened. So as we take communion this morning and celebrate you, Lord, never let us forget that you paid a physical price for us to be free. Shed your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we pause today. We bless you. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. God, we need you today. Bless your people to hear. Bless them to understand. Bless your word this morning, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus tells us, and look at John 9. In verse 5, Jesus tells us that he's the light of the world. Make a note of that. Remember, JL says you say this all the time. I'm going to say it again, JL. I got notes on my notes. So I encourage you to take notes. God is always speaking. We just have to make sure that we are listening. So Jesus says he's the light of the world. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. In chapter 8, he told him he's the light of the world when they brought him a woman that was caught in adultery. Now he passes by and sees a blind man, and he says, I'm the light of the world. He helped the lady out in her sin condition, her spiritual condition. Now he's getting ready to help the man out in his physical position and condition. He's been blind from birth. So make a note, number one. Let me say it again because it deserves repeating. The most important comparison we have is not rich or poor, success or failure, black or white, high or low. The most important comparison that can be made is light and dark. Use it as an evangelistic tool. When you get to work tomorrow, somebody's going to be talking about the craziness that's happened in the world this weekend. And you have to tell them it's important that you walk in the light because Jesus is the light. And apart from him, it's just darkness. It's not about gun control. It's not about all. It's about light and dark. Are you in the light with Christ or are you in darkness? You have people who thought they were going to the mall and went to hell if they weren't saved. Okay, we got to make it plain. Because the world's not playing anymore. We see that. I'm going shopping. No, somebody's there and you don't understand. You're going to hell because you're not in the light. Family is so important that we stay in the light, we walk in the light, and that we share the light. JL, take us to Matthew 5 and 16. Jesus, he shifts it to us and says, you are the light of the world because he's in us. So he's the light of the world through the Holy Spirit. Now we're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see the good works in you and glorify your Father which is in heaven. JL, take us to 5:15. Let me see that I missed something. Neither do men put a light under a candle, put under a bushel. All right, let me see. Take us to 5:14. Oh, there we go. Family, I come to tell you this, you're the light of the world. We're waiting on somebody to solve the issues. God said, you're it. You got to go on your job tomorrow and bring the light in the midst of darkness. They're looking for answers around. I was so discouraged yesterday because it's just so sad what's happening. But it's not like Christ didn't tell us. It's not like he didn't write about it. And then he tells us that we're the light of the world. So we have to go out. We have to share the light. Also, Jill, take us to 5:13. Look at this. You're the salt of the earth. You're the flavor of the earth. The earth has lost its flavor. And then we add to it. I was in Trader Joe's the other day, and I had the option of buying something that was salted or unsalted. I had an option. Christ says, you don't have that option. As a believer, you're the salt of the earth. Brother Jerry, you don't have the option. You can't go to work and say, I don't want to be salt and light. I want to be sugar and spice in the dark and not nice. We don't have that option. The world's trying to serve us up sugar and spice. And God said, you're salt, you're light, and you're love. World's looking for answers. People are going to have all kind of theories and this and that, and you have to bring it right back to the spiritual condition. It's no other comparison. It's either you're walking in the light or you're in darkness. That's a tough word, but it's a tough world. People don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that you have to take a stand. And either you light or you dark. There's no in between. There's no gray. There's no light brown. There's no off-white. There's no eggshell white, family. It's light or it's dark, and that's it. And because Jesus is the light of the world, we're the light of the world because he's in us. We don't have the choice. Oh, shucks. I got all this right. Read me, and it's... It's kind of tough in here. Let me see. God doesn't give us a choice. We are the salt of the earth. We are light. It's impossible to be light and dark at the same time. You can't be both. You are either a partner with God and Christ or you're serving Satan. Shucks. It's written here. I got to read it. Got to give it to you just like God gave it to me. And if you look at the world today, Satan's not playing. We have to stop playing church, family. People are dying and lost and going to hell, and we have to let them know, get in Christ now, because you don't know what a day might bring. So when they're asking, just turn it. I don't discuss politics and religion. Neither do I, but I discuss light and dark. Which one are you in? If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in darkness, and your master is Satan. And that's what the Word of God says, not what pastor says. That's what the Word of God says. Tough word is a tough world. We can't sugarcoat the gospel. We can't. Not anymore. Not anymore. Family, I don't want you to leave out of here thinking that you're going to a playground. It's a battleground. It's not a football field. I was watching bits and pieces of the Hall of Fame induction yesterday. Football. It's not a football field. It's a battlefield. Can't get distracted. We're not trying to get in the Hall of Fame. We're trying to get in the Hall of Faith. Make a note. Read Hebrews 11. That's where we're trying to go. Everything else is a distraction. It's not going to get you anywhere. You can't stand before God and show him your Super Bowl ring and your Hall of Fame ring. It's not going to make a difference. Let's go back to John 9 and 1. Jesus has just told him that he's God. In John 8:58, he tells him, most assuredly, I guarantee you that before Abraham was, I am. Let him know that he was God, because they asked him. They asked Moses, who do we say? Moses asked God, who do I tell him sent me? Tell him that I am have sent you. So Jesus tells them in 8:58, and they knew exactly what he was talking about, because in 8:59 he took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So we pick it up at verse 9, chapter 9 and verse 1. Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. Make a note, this man was blind from his birth. God. He's a man now, so let's say he's what? 21? That's a long time to wait for God. How long, what box do we put God in? How long are we going to wait? I'll wait 21 days, and if God doesn't show up, then I got to do something. How long are you going to wait for God to move in the area that you've been praying for him to move in? Let's say this guy is 21 for purposes of our age, and we know it's a different time and different culture back then. Also make a note, family, that God sees you right where you are. He didn't see God, obviously, because he was blind, Brother Bernie. He didn't see God, but God saw him right where he was. He saw him, Brother Willie, and had mercy. So don't think that God doesn't know where you are. Don't think that God doesn't see what's going on. Don't think that God can't help you in your toughest. For this man, he's been blind since birth, and he was a beggar. He didn't have a choice. And we'll be able to break this down as we continue the series. But here's this man. He's blind since birth. He's a beggar. Christ walked by and didn't ignore him. God is not ignoring you. Make a note, God is not ignoring you. And God saw him in his most desperate and hopeless condition and situation and healed him. God sees you and I. As tough as it is, any and everything that we're going through, God sees it. And God hasn't forgotten us, and God hasn't forgotten you and I. Verse 2, and the disciples asked him, saying, Master, teacher, who did this sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, because we got to blame somebody for where I'm at, right? It's somebody's fault for where I am right here. I have to blame somebody. It's probably my wife's fault. And if it's not the wife, then it's the kids. And I might have to go back a little deeper. It was my dad, and then it was his dad, and it was my neighborhood, then it's the police. It's always somebody's fault because of where I am. And I even want to ask God, God, whose fault is it? Because where I am is where I am. It was one of the principles Kathy and them spoke up, I think it was 4, that where you are is right where God wants you. Where you are now is right where God wants you right now. And we think it's somebody's fault, but God is just like this gentleman right here, as Jesus told him in verse 3. It's nobody's fault setting him up for a miracle. You blaming somebody and God setting you up for a miracle. Why am I like? Because God's setting you up for a miracle. It's not his parents. It's not your parents. It's not your wife. It's God wants to make manifest in him. God wants to show his power through your situation. God wants to show himself strong in your situation. God wants to manifest his power through your life. Couples, God wants to manifest his power through your marriage. Let me try that again. I know we got a few, because I know y'all. Couples, where you are, God wants to manifest his power through your marriage. It's a setup. Good, bad, or ugly, that's what God wants to do. It's up to us to surrender so God gets the glory. Singles. No singles? Okay, everybody's married? Okay, everybody's hooked up. Everybody hooked up with somebody? Okay, all right, I got you. God wants to manifest his power in your life as a single. Where you are is right where he wants you, and he wants to show off his power through you because you're the light of the world. Use your marriage to bring light to others. Use your singleness to bring light to others. Youth, God wants to use you right where you are to bring light to those dark schools and those dark classrooms. Family, we got to understand, it's on us. He said, I'm setting you up for a miracle. I want to manifest my power through you. You don't hide light under a bushel. You don't do it. Make a note of this right here. Whew. My struggles don't define who I am. Your struggles don't define who you are. You are salt and you are light, and God says it. We got to stop making excuses thinking our struggles define us. We're salt and light. Look at this. Here's the revelation. You know what your resume says? Your resume says you're the light of the world. That's on your resume. Bless you. Let me try that again. When you look at yourself and you're trying to figure out what's going on with you, read your resume. It says you're salt, you're light, you're the light of the world. That's what the word says. We're not defined by our struggles. Look at verse 4. And I'm going to stop it right here, and then we're going to catch it. And for those of you just visiting, don't be alone. I never finish. They know I never finish a message. Okay? I never finish a message. And Lord willing, we'll be back next week, but I never finish a message. Tell them, church, do I ever finish? We pick it up next week. So it's just a little shorter than it normally is, but I never finish. But that's why I try and, like, cliffhanger so you come back next week. Somebody say amen. But look at verse 4. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Jesus said, when you die, your assignment's over. You got to work right now while you're alive, while you have the energy, and stop making excuses. Get to work. Amen. That's right. Your resume says you're the light of the world. Christ says, work now and stop making excuses for not letting your light shine. The world has no problem promoting darkness. TV, mainstream media, social media, the music. Somebody say amen. Amen. Family, we can no longer say I'll share the gospel when I get my life together. Your life is where it is so God can get the glory. He wants to use you right where you are. We can no longer say, man, I can't look at mine. I got too much going on. He said you got to work right now. We have to stop making excuses for not letting our light shine. We can no longer say, I'll share the gospel when I get my life together. Your life is right where it is, and God wants it there so he can get the glory. Look at this. It's not about being self-conscious, because that puts the focus on you. As Brother John always tells me, it's about being God conscious. So God gets the glory. Verse 5, as long as I'm in the world. And then Jesus tells him, as long as I'm in the world, he's the light of the world. And that's where we're going to stop this morning. So family, you don't have a choice. As we prepare to take communion, Jesus is the light of the world. But then he shifted, he transferred it to us. I know it's a tough seat, I know. And a title does not make you something. Amen? You already have the title. You know what your title is? Come on, somebody help me out. You know, salt and light, light of the world. You're not defined by where you are now. You're not defined by your circumstances and your situations. You're not defined by that. Rebuke that now in the name of Jesus. Don't let the enemy tell you can't be salt, light, and love, because because you're single, or because you're married, or because you're having issues, or because you haven't made enough money, or because you're broke. You're not a failure. You're not a loser. As we take communion, we're reminded that Christ died for you and I while we were yet sinners. So your resume says you're the light of the world. Your resume says you are a sinner saved by grace. And now you're sought in light. Have to share that with the world. I'm sure somebody's going to come to you tomorrow, wherever you are, and ask you, what do you think about the madness that happened this weekend? You say, well, look, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and it's a lot of darkness. Make sure you're walking in the light. Make sure you get joined and connected to Christ, because you never know. Leave it at that. Either they accept it or reject it. Brothers, go ahead and pass out the sacraments. Who's with me, Jill? Put up 1 Corinthians 11:23. On the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. Okay, so hear this. He's being betrayed. He's been betrayed. And he's able to be thankful. Because right where he was is where God wanted him. It was a setup to save the world. You can be betrayed and give thanks. You can be betrayed and be able to forgive. The first thing Christ said, 7 things when he was on the cross. The first one he said was, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Family, we got to be forgiving. We got to be loving. We got to be salt. We got to be light. And that's the word. Christ died so we could be free. And so we got to pause right now. If there's anybody you're holding a grudge against, anybody that you haven't forgiven, today's the day. Now is the time. In the name of Jesus. And visitors, yes, please, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, visitors, please take communion. Please join in communion with us. You do not have to be a member of our church. You're a member of the body. As God's body, you can take communion with us. Please do. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, then don't take communion, but talk to one of you guys. I got to run out, but talk to one of the guys in the red tie, and they can share Christ with you and how to be saved this morning. And then next time you can participate with us. But if you've accepted Christ, take communion. Forgive that person. Let them go. Release them. It's only eating you alive. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Well, I know what Christ did for you. When we didn't even care about him, he went to that cross and died for our sins. So we don't get what we deserve, which is hell. He took that. I can forgive anybody. Because I know as much, let's say to whom God has forgiven much, man, they can show a lot. I can give a lot of grace because God showed me so much grace. I'm not going to try and stand here and act like I got it all together. Lord, thank you for forgiving me. I hold grudges against no one. God, if you're going to erase my sin debt, I can erase their sin debt against me. In the name of Jesus. Elevate that which represents his body. Lord, we thank you that you paid a physical price so that we could be free. God said, do this in remembrance of me. You know why we're doing this? Because God said so. Because he knew there'd be craziness going on all around us. He said, keep your life in biblical perspective. I'm coming back for you. Your salt, your light, your love. Share my love with others. Pause from your busy schedule. Remember that I died for your sins and set you free. Forgive other people. Love other people. Help other people. In the name of Jesus, don't get all self-righteous. Christ died for our sins, and we could not save ourselves. Go and eat that which represents his body. Thank you, Lord. Then elevate that which represents his blood. In the book of Leviticus, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. They had to give a trespass offering and a sin offering and a burnt offering. Christ died once and for all. Covered all our sins, past, present, and future. We have to receive him, accept him, join with him. We thank you, Lord. Oh, that you are a healer. Oh, I hear it, Lord. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for cleansing us. It's through your blood that we're free and we're saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you for dying on that cross for us, and thank you for resurrecting on that third day. We bless you today, Lord. Bless your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Pass them, thank you, to the center aisles.